quarterback, just under 6 foot, comes from the West Coast to New Orleans and does things with the Saints that nobody's ever done before. Obviously, I'm talking about Randy Mueller. Who'd you think I was talking about?
What's up, guys? This is Mike Carney.
This is Toy Cook.
I'm Randy Mueller.
This is Quinn Early.
I'm Dale Van Bro.
I'm Alex Molden.
I'm Jake Cuff. And this is Life of a Saint.
And this is Life of a Saint.
And this is Life of a Saint.
The Life of a Saint.
Life of a Saint.
Life of a Saint.
And this is Life of a Saint. Who dat?
Randy, I appreciate you joining me. I guess we'll start at the very beginning. What made you first get a fondness for football?
Well, I love the sport. The Seahawks had their training camp an hour from where I grew up. And I got a job there one summer as a ball boy, 1978, I believe.
So being a West Coast kid, obviously a school like Linfield University was a more likely option. Was it just the proximity of being close to that school that led you in that direction, or was it something else?
I chose that school because they chose me. I had never heard of Linfield College. I had, when I got the job as a ball boy with the Seahawks, I was in high school. I think I was going into my junior year of high school. It was a year later that Linfield recruited me, and they had, I don't know if you are familiar with Linfield, but they have a well-respected program that has, over the course of time, they've got like 60-some years in a row of winning records.
Wow.
And so I was actually signed up to go to a different college, Pacific in Forest Grove. And they recruited me and changed my mind, and the rest was history, I guess. I went there and was fortunate enough to lead them to a national championship my last year.
So while you were at Linfield, you end up getting a D2 championship. What was that like for you?
It was awesome. It was a great year for me. I had missed the year before because I was the starting quarterback and broke my leg in the first game.
Oh, geez.
So I came back from my senior year, and we really had a great team. And I was just fortunate to be the one at the controls. You know, I think they could have won it with about anybody. That's how good of a team we were.
To achieve as much as you have in football, you've got to have a certain level of drive. Now, does that come from maybe coaching when you were younger, or is that something that's always been instilled in you?
You know, I think I've always been a little bit driven, probably anal when it comes to that. I spent, you know, my childhood, I didn't have a lot of time with friends or messing around. I spent all my time shooting baskets and lifting weights and hunting and fishing. That's what I did. So my dad was a really, he's still alive. My mom passed, but my dad, very hard working blue collar guy. And I guess I was lucky enough to get that gene in me. And I knew I wasn't the most talented, but I pride myself on outworking most of them, you know? So
gotcha.
I was always driven to it. And it's done well by me throughout my professional adult life, that's for sure.
While you were in college, did you aspire to play in the NFL?
I had worked 5 summers for the Seahawks by that time, and I knew there wasn't much use for a 5'11 quarterback in the NFL. So
gotcha.
I think playing in Canada would have been something that I would have considered, but the Seahawks offered me a job before I even graduated full-time. So I graduated from Linfield and moved to Seattle the next day and took a full-time job with the Seahawks in their scouting department.
Okay, so you were a ball boy in Seattle with the Seahawks. You work your way all the way up to vice president of operations. What's the story behind that?
Yeah, I guess that's kind of a strange story. I've been asked many times about it. And, you know, going from ball boy to the boss in 20 years is not the generic ride, that's for sure. The landscape of the league changed during my time, in that free agency became a thing, the salary cap became a thing. So when I'm working my way up through the Seahawks, these things equal the playing field for experienced personnel people. So the Ron Wolfs and George Youngs of the world had the exact same amount of experience dealing with the salary cap and free agency as I did.
Gotcha.
You know, so it didn't really matter how old you were. We all started from scratch. And I just jumped in with that new landscape and ran with it. And gosh, it set me up because we got good, and I guess I was okay at the job. So pretty soon I had a whole bunch of stuff to keep track of, you know?
All right, Randy, let me get inside your head for a second. So you're in Seattle for nearly 20 years. You're coming off an AFC West championship, and you decide to go to New Orleans, who was just coming off a 3-13 season. What's that all about? What prompted that decision?
You know, Seattle was all we knew. That's the only place I had ever been. Like you said, I was born and raised in the Northwest. I just felt like it was time in my life, and I think I was 37 or 38, something like that. My wife and I talked about it. We said it's if we were going to ever do something different, this would be it. And I'll be honest, Mr. Benson recruited me hard, and it just made sense. We were just looking for a change, you know. Yeah. And it was a great move for us professionally and personally. We loved our time in New Orleans, so it ended up working out well.
So you arrive in 2000. Obviously, with that comes a lot of changes, top down, including a lot of players off the roster. Now, when the players leave, when a lot of those players leave, the players that are left behind, how do they take all of that?
I think it was received very well. We had, you know, the Willie Rofes and Joe Johnson and some of the veteran guys that we were, you know, all, that were holdovers, really wanted to win bad, and they were willing to do anything. And between myself and Jim Haslett, we kind of gave them a little different style of leadership, I guess, than what they had, and a little more defined direction. And we added a bunch of guys that first year. But to Jim's credit, more than mine for sure, I think he did a great job, and our new coaching staff, of bringing the group together. And it paid dividends that very first year. But we had veterans there that jumped on board, and we couldn't have done it without that. Because we didn't have any draft picks either. My first year there was the year after the Ricky Williams stuff, so they had given away all the draft picks.
Being a Saints fan since 1987, I remember how I felt whenever the Saints finally won that first playoff game. You show up year one, win the playoff game. Take me through that process. What was that like?
I would say it was the best time of my professional career to date. It was a great year. Very much the people of New Orleans made it that way. They accepted me for some unknown reason. They, you know, kid from the Northwest, really had no business being in New Orleans, but those people welcomed me, my family, Jim's family, and it made it awesome. We had a great year, and everybody, I think probably to this day, has that as one of their career highlights. It was definitely mine.
Now, in that same year, the Saints award you with the 2000 Saints Executive of the Year. Is that kind of like the pinnacle of your executive career?
I mean, I had built some playoff teams in the past, but I guess individually, yeah, that was voted on by your peers. So, yeah, that was nice. And what made it real nice is Jim was voted Coach of the Year, I think, the same year. Yep. So, it was definitely a team effort, and to see people being rewarded because of it. You know, the players got rewarded, everybody got rewarded for that season, so it was nice.
2001, the Saints get off to a pretty fast start, but see the last four games kind of crumble and their playoff hopes diminish with that. What was that whole journey like from your vantage point?
I remember we had some issues in our locker room. We had some injuries as well. It was kind of a culmination of... And the good storm was the year before. This was kind of a bad storm, which happens in the NFL. You definitely have to overcome adversity, but you have to figure out how to deal with prosperity, too. And I don't think we did a great job of dealing with that prosperity, but nonetheless, I think we ended up 6-10 that second year. And wasn't where we wanted to be, but at the same time, we were very positive we could right the ship again the following year. So we were happy to have that year over, and you're right, the last four games are what kind of undid us. I think we were 7-5, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. Yeah.
So
when there are locker room issues amongst the players, does that kind of stuff find its way up into management?
Well, usually they would find their way up, and I make it, that's just my style. I kind of know what's going on and have a relationship with the players and want to be involved in that. But yeah, we had several things come up that year that were challenging for us to overcome. I thought we, you know, had kind of set ourselves up for the following year, so that those personalities and those people were, we kind of moved on, you know. Mm-hmm. But anytime you have issues with your better players, sometimes that, those aren't easy to deal with.
Now, I did read some things online that in end of 2001, Ricky Williams gets traded, and apparently the Bensons didn't know about it, and that kind of led to some of the issues there. Is there any truth to that rumor?
Totally false. Tom knew everything. Tom treated me like a son, and he was in the loop on everything we ever did. So I had heard that at one point after I had left about the fact that they might not have known, or he might. That's not true at all. He knew everything we were doing every day. Tom was in the office every day.
Yeah,
so part of my job is to keep him in the loop, and he definitely knew that. So that had no bearing on anything that, you know, came up after that, at least that I'm aware of.
Now, 2001 was your final season in New Orleans. Was that parting mutual, or is that something that was kind of put on you?
No, it wasn't at all. He had offered me a contract extension 2 weeks after the draft, and we had discussions about, because I was entering the last year, I had signed a 3-year deal when I got there. After 2 years, he wanted to extend, but I was happy to talk about it and extend. So he had made me an offer, and 2 weeks later, out of the blue, he asked me to resign. So, well, it wasn't mutual. I loved it there. My family loved it there. I was totally shocked by the change of events, and everybody in the organization was as well. Like I say, Tom had treated me really good up until that point, so I had no issue with him at all.
So did ownership give you any kind of reason as far as why they wanted to move on?
No, it's simple. He did not give me any indication. He just said we needed a different style, a management style, and I have no idea what he meant by that. We never ever talked about it before then or after, and obviously, when he asked me to resign, you know, that's a firing, in my opinion. So I just gathered my stuff and was gone a few hours later. And I think just as shocked as everybody else. I mean, gotcha. To go from executive of the year to, you know, really having them on the right track to that kind of, you know, almost, I would like to say it's knee-jerk, but there was nothing to knee-jerk about. So I have no idea.
So I know you took 2 or 3 years off after leaving New Orleans before you got back into the NFL. Is the way that played out toward the end of your days in New Orleans, did that lead into your decision to kind of stay away from the game, or was there just not the right opportunity?
I think it was the opportunity. I wanted to work, and the ESPN deal came up fairly quick. We had moved back to the Northwest, and ESPN reached out to me, and I did the TV and radio for them for 3 years, and I think I told somebody the other day, it might have been the best job I ever had. It was awesome. I could get on a plane and fly to Bristol for 3 days a week, and when I get on that plane to go home, I never thought about it. You know, I never had a job like that where you could actually have a life and get paid.
You can punch out. Yeah.
Yeah. So no, it was good, and I did that for 3 years until Nick got the Miami job, and he hired me in Miami after that. But I was actually at ESPN longer than I was at the Saints.
And while you were working at ESPN, were you just looking for another opportunity to get back into the NFL?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I was only 42 years old, so I wasn't ready to walk away from the NFL. I had my 20 years in by then, but I knew always that I would come back in the NFL if I could. And I actually had a chance a couple years, or one year earlier, to go back to Seattle, and it just wasn't the right time and place for me. Mm-hmm. So when Nick came calling thereafter, it made more sense to me.
12 episodes up, 12 episodes down. Thank you, Randy Mueller, for your time. That's all we got for you today. Hoot out to everybody. We'll see you on the next one.